Lessons for the Parshas Achrei Mos Kedoshim Yom Ha'atzmut HaBa'aleinu L'Tova. We have a first in many, many years where Yom Ha'atzmut is actually Heir. This is a very special year. I don't know if people realize it, but this is the year, this is the exact date of when the Yetzias Mitzrayim were, and I like it because then Heir is the right date, and then also you have a Friday, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Iyar, which means you could shave. Like, it's good things, you know. Okay, but the negative, quote-unquote negative, is that Shavuos is a two-day Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael, so you have to, you know, that we're not used to that. Okay, but okay, you take the good with the bad. I came across, I was just telling Rav Jake, I came across this Sefer that really, I was saying to Rav Jake, really bothers me because I didn't take more of them. Rabbi Lamb's Drushos. Drushos LeDorot. I have the schus of spending Pesach with the editor, Rabbi Stuart Halpern, who obviously has done an amazing job here in keeping Rabbi Lamb's legacy alive. And as I just said, I unfortunately did not appreciate Rabbi Lamb. Rabbi Lamb and my grandfather are very close. My grandfather is one of the architects of Yeshiva University. So they had a very close relationship. But his Drushos was really what he was known for. I mean, they're just spectacular. And I have a difficult time putting the Sefer down because we did something for Vayikra and now Kedoshim, not that far away. Why am I mad at myself? Because they had this for free at Yom HaKal of YU. And I said, I don't want to take a Sefer I may not use. And I didn't think I'm going to read English drushos. They're drushos, they're long. And I made a mistake. I only took Vayikra. I should have taken the other volumes that they had because it's so gorgeous. And I think it will relate very much to the topic of Yom HaTzmud. And the relationship between what I'm just going to call ourselves, for lack of a better word, the religious Zionist, the modern Orthodox, what do you want to call yourself, and our relationship to Medinas Yisrael. Because let's understand, it's quite obvious that there were two schools of thought when Medinas Yisrael was founded. And that was, well, the Medina is not a Jewish Medina, even though it was late Friday on, Hey Iyar, when the rabbis, Rabbi Maimon, others convinced Ben-Gurion not to declare their state after Shkia on Shabbos itself. And it was so beautiful what had happened. There were years, unfortunately, with time. I don't know. We lose, in my opinion, the great... I think this trip is an amazing trip, where before Yom HaTzmud, they used to take the guys to where it all happened, the Declaration of Independence, where it was signed. And no constitution, I know. We have a little problem with that. Okay, we're working on that. And you go there and you see the distance. You walk from there to the shul, the central synagogue of where Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau's, you know, offices are, the former chief rabbi of Israel. And this is where they went right afterwards. They had this awesome tefillah chagigit. It's pretty remarkable. And you see where it was signed and you see there. And but despite that, there were two religious schools of thought. One was, we cannot recognize the Medina, and I'm not even recognizing a school of thought that's like, you know, it's Maisa Sotun and you know, and Turi Karta. I'm not looking at that. I'm saying, but the two schools of thought was, well, it was founded by non-religious sources, and therefore it's not Kaddish, it's profane, and profane is profane, and that's all. We can't. And where the religious Zionists said, listen, we're modern Orthodox, which means we have to live as part of society, and therefore we have to make it into Kaddish. I had the schus on Friday to go to the shir of Rabbi Rakefet and this awesome memorial lectures that they're doing. L'zecher Nishmas Goyin Harav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik's 30th yahrzeit, 120 years, would have been 120 years old. And Rabbi Rakefet, who's just the genius of all geniuses, explained that, you know, what happened in Hakamas HaMedina. Besides the fact that many in the beginning recognized it, Haredim all alike, realized the great miracle that had just happened. But besides for that, you know, this road, he said, imagine if back in the 1900s now, before Hakamas HaMedina, if the Hasidish, they were talking about, you know, at the time, bells, and if they started moving here, the Medina would have been much different. It would have been all religious. So you can kind of only blame yourself type of situation. So Rabbi Lamb, in a sermon that he gave in 1953, he spoke about, what is Kedoshim to you? Right, our second parashah will relate to Achrei Mos as well. And he says, Kedusha, holiness, is the most important principle in all of Judaism. That's a bold statement. The highest ideal to which any person can aspire to is that of holiness. And therefore, the commandments of the Torah, Vayisim Goy Kadosh, you have to be a nation that's Kadosh, right? And on our parashah, of course, Kedoshim to you, we have to be holy. Rashi on the spot, Kosher Sifri, what does Kedosha mean to you? Says the Sifri to you, Purushim. You have to separate yourself. Holy means, to be holy means to rise above commonplace. The vulgarity, this is 1953, but you can imagine, you know, this is what a lot of people say about Rabbi Lamb's drushas. They're so relatable today. But he says, look at our society today, 1953, but imagine this many years later. The society, the secular society, go above that. It means taking the soul off to the side and purifying it from the garbage, he writes dross, the garbage that gathers rough and tumble in the daily existence. That's holiness, separating ourselves, being a higher human being. What's a corollary to this? A Sefer Torah. In itself, if we were to take the parts of the Sefer Torah, they're not holy. What are they? It's a parchment. It's you know, ink. So he says, a Sefer Torah is not sacred in and of itself, but we treat the attitude towards it is so strict that we don't even touch the Torah scroll. You see, when the guy does Hagbah, you know, he does 98 columns, so now the guy that does Galila can't do Galila. They take the talus and they lift it up, right? Why do we do that? Because of the holiness of the Torah scroll. Take to free and liberal attitude, the sacred will become profane. And therefore, in Parshas Achrimos, you have this great description of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim. And even the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim is not allowed to go in the first three Pesukim in Parshas Achrimos. He's not allowed to enter the second Pasuk. He's not allowed to go into the Holy Temple, talking about the Rashi says, we're talking about from the Sifri again. He's not allowed to go into the Kodesh Kodashim, the Sifri says. Afilu b'yom kippur atzmo, he's not allowed to go into the Kodesh Kodashim, only certain times. Why? Because we keep, even for the Kohen Gadol, even on Yom Kippur, the Holy of Holies is not something that you can go into. It's too holy. Only certain times of the year, and even in those times, only certain times in those times. That's about being isolated. It tells a great story. The story is told about an American college student who's studying. She's very wealthy, and her father takes her to Europe to see the different cities of Europe. And she's shocked when she goes to the town that Beethoven lived. And there sits the piano of Beethoven. And she doesn't know what to do with herself. She asks permission, and she's in ecstasy as she sits on the piano and starts playing music. So she says, I bet you the greatest of all pianists must have played here on Beethoven. It's like a zchus gadol, you know? Lahavdil. And the guide says, absolutely not. In fact, just last week, the famous Polish pianist and composer, Pedowarski, was here and he refused to play on it. He later became the Prime Minister of Poland. He was the one who signed the Treaty of Versailles that ended World War I. He refused to play her, and he said that he was not worthy of playing on the piano of Beethoven. What does that mean? What is that talking about? What does he say? He said, because I respect the holiness of the great Beethoven. Going back to our lives, what does that mean? Shul. This is something that is brought out. I don't know if you guys remember this from Shana Aleph, and maybe Shana Bet as well. The first shiur of yeshiva is to explain what a base medrash is. Kedusha's basic knesset. Kedusha's. It's hard to understand this concept. Here we are in the same room that looks like a regular room, except, okay, there's a few things, very few things, that you know, there's an Aron Kodesh there. But a person has to realize that when he's in his shul, he can't talk the same way that he talks. Not only when the Torah is open. Not only, no. You see guys on their phones watching movies, playing games in a base medrash. Says Rabbi Lamb, a person has to be careful. If in a synagogue it's holy, must be entered not with good fellowship, but with a hush, with reverence. Tefillin is on. You have to have respect. I know this doesn't sound, this sounds funny, but I know somebody, one of your rabbeim in the yeshiva, I'm not going to mention who he is because I don't know if he wants to know. He doesn't talk when he wears his tefillin. Doesn't talk anything. Won't talk to anybody. So if there's some sort of like emergency, so he'll take his, I don't know why only a shel rosh, but he takes his shel rosh off to talk. I'm talking about mundane thing, not like telling jokes. Somebody needs something, whatever, he has to take his shel rosh off. There's a kedusha. Okay. So great, shkoyach. So how do I attain holiness? What do I have to do? How do I be higher? What do I do? You just say, okay, God, kedoshim to you. I want to be holy. Bring it on. No. You cannot sit around and wish for it. You have to descend upon it. And therefore, and Rabbi Lam's bringing out three integral points, the first being the importance that holiness means that you have to be noble and higher. How do I get to that point, he says? You have to act upon it. You have to try hard in order to obtain the cherished of all feelings. He says, and let me explain it to you in the great way. It's a great analogy as well, but this analogy is a Torah analogy. The difference between Har Sinai and Har HaMoriah. Har Sinai, somewhere in the Sahara Desert, sometime that we don't know where it is. Rav Mo, I guess we'll take you on a trip by Eilat and tell you this is Har Sinai to make you feel good, and you're all like really excited. Har Moriah, we obviously know exactly what it is. It's Makom HaMikdash. If we look at the breathtaking, dramatic scene that we'll be reading in a few weeks from now on Shavuos of Har Sinai, delivering of the Torah, the excitement, the atmosphere, the tense, the historic nature of it, the importance of Har Sinai. Har Moriah is almost the opposite. Avram initially goes there, brings his son Yitzchak, the greatness of, give greatness to mankind. But he's told then to sacrifice his only son in that ultimate test that he has. And as opposed to the 3 days of waiting by Mamad Har Sinai, here are these 3 days as a different type of waiting. He's just struggling, wrestling themselves. Should we do this? Should we not? There was no thunderous call. The Rabbanu Shalom didn't come down and say anything. It's Avram who goes on top of the mountain willing to kill his own son in accordance with the will of the Rabbanu Shalom. Here too, God does not come down. But man meets Hashem on Har Moriah. And therefore, it's no wonder why Har Sinai has no halachic significance at all to us. I didn't know this, but he writes that today you will find a Christian monastery on top of it. But Har Moriah remains Zion atop, is the Beis HaMikdash itself. We're not allowed to, sir, everybody agrees, even those that go to Har Habayis, agree that you can't go to the real Har Habayis. The real part is us, to us. You can't stand on there. It's so holy. So now he can explain that holiness, Kedusha, is a state of being higher and nobler than detached. And detached. It's not automatic. In hard labor, you have to work on being a Kaddish. And finally, he says, the third point, how do you rise to Kedusha? How do I do the hard work? Challenge. Kedoshim to you, says the Torah. It doesn't mean to live in your own world in an ivory tower. Be a hermit. And not be part of life. The contrary. Accept the challenges of life. Meet it on its own grounds. Rise above. Escape. And attain holiness. This, as a proving point, is also in Vayikra Rabbah in our parsha. When Chazal explained what Kedusha, the essence of Kedusha is, in again, Vayikra Rabbah, they say, if you look at the book of Daniel, you'll see heaven is referred to only once in reference to Kedusha. Whereas the world, the here and now, twice Kedoshim is used. Kedoshim to you, v'kidashtem. To mean what? Kedusha is on this earth. Real Kedusha is being challenged by real life situations. And saying, no, I'm going to be a Kaddish. Again, Tidia Parush, you think to yourself, oh, I'm going to live in Ramat Beit Shemesh bed. I'm never going to see a human being that doesn't look like me. And there I'll have no Kedusha. And if, God forbid, someone comes who doesn't look like me, well, then I have to scream at them. Sheikh's up! That's the only way. Says Rabbi Lam, that's not Kedoshim to you. The Midrash Rabbah says, that's not Kedoshim to you. No. That's not true. Being a Nazir is not a glorified level. A person has to do it for a certain reason, but that's not what we're supposed to be. It's easy for a person who's wealthy to observe Shabbos. He's considered a good Jew, but not necessarily a holy Jew. But now take the poor person who can't celebrate Shabbos because he has got no money. And he knows he's going to be fired from his job Hakamas Medinas America. When my grandfather moved to America every Friday, he was fired from his job. You would sit at a Shabbos table not knowing whether or not you would have food for next Shabbos. That's holiness. That takes the challenge. Unfortunately, many people just worked on Shabbos. They lost it. That's the Yetzer Hara. That's the two measures of holiness. Therefore, concludes Rabbi Lam, holiness, these three points, require action and rising to the challenge. You know how to be Kedoshim to you. The Torah teaches us the entire parasha of Kedoshim. You want to be a Kaddosh, take the challenge of honoring your parents and what it comes with and respecting them. Observing Shabbos and the difficulty of being on a college campus that's not religious and observing Shabbos. No matter what the cost is. Don't worship idols, whatever that may mean today, much more than you may think it is. Can't profit in an inappropriate way on money. V'chulu v'chulu. So I think that that's the relationship with Medinas Yisrael. We accepted the challenge as religious Zionists to say, no, this is, you want to say the words, reishis mitzvat goleinu, or it makes you feel better to say, shetehei reishis mitzvat goleinu, something special happened here. And I can't close my eyes. I can't say, chadosh aser min ha-Torah. I can't say, well, this is something new, it's not in the Mishnah Berurah, so therefore I'm not going to do it. That was the challenge of the Haredi population, who believe that you can't take anything that's new and do it. That was the challenge of Rav Soloveitchik. Soloveitchik, who grew up as an Aguda Jew, who grew up with a grandfather who walked out of the first Aguda convention, Rav Chaim, because he didn't like words that were used that related to Zionism and rabbis that got up and didn't talk Torah. He had a change. By Rav Kefet's line, Rav Kook was his thesis was all about Zionism. That's what he grew up on. It was in his veins. It was in his blood. The antithesis, the antithesis of this, Rav Soloveitchik had to grow into this and say, okay, now I have to decide, am I going to be a Kaddish? Am I going to accept the challenge and be a lonely person? He would have been the biggest person in the Aguda. Rav Soloveitchik would have been known as the biggest. And instead, now every book doesn't mention, they say, oh, the founders of American Yeshiva, doesn't mention Yeshiva University, doesn't mention Rav Soloveitchik. Ridiculous. Because those are the people who are real Kaddishim to you. Kaddishim to you is to accept the challenge, to live a real life. To live amongst the nations, to have a real job. That's Kedoshim to you. Kedoshim to you isn't living in a society where you have nothing to do with the real world. No. So we accept that challenge. And yes, 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 it's difficult. We go into the army. And even if we have the schus of serving in a platoon together with other religious soldiers and we're in Hester Yeshiva, trust me, I got plenty of stories my son has told me. The challenges of being Mechal Shabbos, we know how luckily you don't really have to. Of the kosher food they promised they would bring, and you're not really sure if there's kosher food because you see the Russian guy there and you know that he's not really Jewish. But we won't have to live part of society. How can we feed off the country without accepting the challenge? Oh, and it's a difficult challenge. And now, just so we're sure that they'll take this off of Yahud Torah, that's the challenge of living outside of Eretz Yisrael as well. The challenge of picking up and going, of being a Kaddish, of saying, I'm accepting the challenge, because Eretz Yisrael Niknib is Surim. And there's no greater explanation to that than I will give you. I have never, ever, ever preached Aliyah to people unless somebody comes to me and asks me. And I will tell them that it's a challenge. And I will tell them that if you don't have a sense of humor, you'll never be able to make Aliyah, because wacko things will come here. And you'll see a notice in the mail that was mailed to you a month and a half ago, but you only got it this week, that tells you defaulted on your tax, whatever it is, and you'll just have to laugh at it because, you know, and then you'll go to take money out of the bank and it's frozen because mail doesn't come here for a month. Whatever, you got to laugh. But that's to be a Kaddish. To live as part of society in Eretz Yisrael? Wow. To have the same guy that cut you off now want to shoot you and kill you and and pull over and then give you a hug and go, Achi, Yaakov b'seder, nu, Shabbat shalom. That's not happening in America. It's a challenge. It's a challenge we accepted as those that are B'nai Aliyah, Mamash, who made Aliyah, and those who made a decision to come to Medina Yisrael, and, yes, those who decided that I'm going to take the challenges of Medina Yisrael. Everybody, all the Haredim loved, I'm sorry to say this, it's not nice what I'm saying, I admit it, when there was the hitnakut, the disengagement from Gaza, and all the religious Zionists who were told to move, they were given money to move to these places, were kicked out. So the Haredim, you see, I told you so. See, I told you not to believe in Medina Yisrael. It came back to haunt you. I told you this would happen. And Baruch Hashem, many, most, if not all, said, it's part of the challenge. Baruch Hashem promised us it wouldn't be easy. We're on the road to Mashiach. But not to see that, that's a lack of kedoshim to you. To be a kadosh is to accept challenges. Yes. Yes. It's not an easy thing. It's to recognize and give hodah to the Rabbanu Shalom for giving us a heir, for giving us a chavchesir, of giving us a road to bring back Mashiach. And we just a week ago, obviously it's done on purpose, commemorated the 6 million Jews who died. We have a place to go now. Ah, that's the difference. One last line, which I was very moved by, that Rabbi Rakefet said on Friday. He said that throughout the entire history of the Jewish people, every prime minister, does anybody know what's the first thing the prime minister does on his first day of office? What does he do? That's correct. His first stop is the Kotel. No matter who he is, what he is, he goes to the Kotel. Except, for the first time in the history of the Jewish people, Yair Lapid. When he took over, he said, I'm not going to the Kotel. He went to Yad Vashem. Why did that mean a lot? And his, if I'm not mistaken, father is a survivor of the Holocaust. Why did that mean something? It says Rabbi Rakefet, because he was basically making the statement, Kotel, what's the Kotel? Kotel is the Har HaMoriah, it's the challenge. It's the Avram Avinu, it's not the Kol HaSabrachim, everything's so easy. It's hard. But it recognizes that there's a goal here. We're in Eretz Yisrael because it's Eretz Yisrael. We don't believe in going to Uganda. Going to Yad Vashem, saying, hey, we have no choice. We have to be here. You know why? Because Chol Dor V'Dor Omdim Aleinu L'Chal Seinu. So we need a place to be. Eretz Yisrael, Uganda, I don't care. Again, this is Rabbi Rakefet's vort, but it's a vort. We're Kedoshim to you. We're going to keep going to the Kotel. And we're going to keep davening to the Rabbanu Shalom that Har HaMoriah will be the place we'll be able to go one day. Because we believe that that is what Medina Yisrael brought us. In the history of the Jewish people, there is no time in history where more Torah is being studied. The ingathering of the exiles is the biggest miracle that we've seen in modern times. And we should be zoche. And my last tefillah is, I'm being serious now, I'm not meaning this as a joke. We should be zoche that all people should recognize the great miracle of Medina Yisrael. I daven for our B'nai Haredim. I'm serious now. The Hasidim, the Haredim, that they should recognize how amazing this day is. It doesn't necessarily say, you hallow the bracha. Not about that. I'm not talking about that. Recognize that this is Reishis Mechaseinim. She's Zoycha, that she should put it in their minds. And with that, Amir Toshem, recognizing the Gula, we're going to be true Kedoshim to you. And see B'yos Gol Tzedek, Mehe Revi Amen. Amen.